This is Clayton for the Cashflow Show in association with Podcast Radio Business. And we're joined by Andy Caddy at the Tech Show 2024, live from Excel, deep in the heart of London's Docklands. Thank you for joining us, Andy.
No problem. Good to be here today.
Thank you very much. Please tell us more about your current role and what brings you to the Tech Show 2024.
Yeah, no problem. I'm currently Group Chief Information Officer at Pure Gym. Pure Gym are a leading gym operator, global gym operator. We have about 2 million members and 600 clubs in six countries. So our challenge, if you like, is how to attract, get people to join up and retain them so they can live a fitter and healthier lifestyle. I'm a technologist, so my job in all of that is ensuring that we make sure that everything we do for the member as they join and have their fitness journey is supported by technology, and it makes it easier for them to live out their Pure Gym life. I'm at the Tech Show because it's very important to stay current. It's a great show to meet up with a whole range of people. It's a good source of new information from the people you meet around some of the booths, and also a lot of the talks today. It's attracted a very high caliber of speaker I've seen this morning. So always great to expand your horizons.
You had a very varied and very influential career, which we will come back to very shortly. But as for now, what key trends or innovations do you see shaping the future of business tech? You say you're a technologist, and obviously by your resume, it's very much the case. But I'm sure that there are bits and pieces that you're starting to see that you're thinking, this is the direction that things are going in.
I think always with technology, it's about how can technology become invisible? That's for consumer technology. How do things become more usable, more magical for people to the point where the technology doesn't get in the way? I think that's how, if we think about what smartphones have done for us over the last 10 or 15 years, they've removed the need to really think about what you do. You just pick up your phone and you look stuff up and it happens. You don't think about the technology the way you would if you were using a computer or a laptop. And now we're about to go through a sort of similar change over the next, I wouldn't be able to predict how many years it is because it's going so quickly, but I think what we see with AI and generative AI tools is the next wave of that. So how to even remove the barrier of having to enter stuff, you know, be able to speak to and receive information in a way that's is a very human way. I think that's a really exciting area. It's also fast moving. I mean, I've been around long enough. I've lost enough hair to be able to tell you I've been in this industry a long time, and I've seen many bubbles. I've seen many excitements about whether that's about VR or Bitcoin or even the internet itself back in the day. This is a really interesting point in time. We're seeing a lot of money and investment in AI. It's moving so quickly, it's hard to know where to place your bets. It's one of the things we're going to be talking about when I'm on stage later. But directionally, it's really interesting to see how that's going to change consumer behavior, but also sort of human behavior. I think about how kids will learn and be educated. I think about how people will understand things in the world, you know, in terms of information arriving them in the way they want to see it. So we're at a really important time, and I think in business that has impacts everywhere for us.
You've had the privilege of working for some fantastic companies. You were chief technical officer at Whitbread, CIO at Virgin Active, and chief technical officer at EasyJet. So you've had a very big spread of very big companies. I'd like to ask you, what are some common challenges or barriers that you've seen organizations face when adopting new technologies, and how, if any, suggestions they might have of overcoming those obstacles?
I think my favorite sort of angle on this is really managing change. Technology is all about change. So you normally do something because you're trying to affect a different result. You're trying to introduce a change. And that's a very human thing. And the temptation of pure play technologists is to think of it from a technology angle. I put this system in, something changes, something's better. It's never better unless you've got the result and you've got the buy-in of everyone involved. So for me, change and change management is as important as the technology itself. And that's an understanding about people. It's understanding about how people respond to change. Most people don't want change. You know, we're not, by habit, humans don't really like change. So how do you bring them through a change curve? How do you educate them, make them understand? How do you win them over so that they understand why you're all trying to effect a change at the same time? So for me, that's been a common thread, whether that is trying to introduce ways of doing allocated seating at EasyJet. You know, that was a big change to our business model. Whether that's the way you book hotels or whether that's the way you sign up to a fitness subscription, they're all, it's all very much linked with, at any point in time when you want to change things, how do you make that the most effective way possible for all the individuals? You know, understand their angle, understand where they're coming from, and try and make it as painless a journey as possible for them.
And that's interesting, because whatever journey you take, there's always the looming threat of cybersecurity that has to be dealt with. As I said, you've dealt with some massive companies and worked with them in order to bring in some great systems. How did you manage that, or how did you approach that cybersecurity aspect of it, just generally?
It comes with the territory. You can't be an IT leader without having to do some of it. I mean, you have to put the right people and partners in place. Take it seriously. Think about it from a business angle. It's not just a technical problem to solve. You are protecting brand or information or financial risk in your company. You're taking a major part to play. It's an insurance play, really. You know, you are, how much money do you want to spend to take what risk? And what I find is the best way to look at that is to play it in those terms so that you get the right level of investment. You have to set up your cybersecurity at the right balance for the company that you're in. So you can spend almost infinite amounts of money on people and tools to defend you. The trick is to get the right amount that makes things easy enough to keep trading and keep doing stuff, because we could all just spend all day putting in passcodes and passwords and biometrics and all the rest of it, but also safe enough that you feel like you can talk to your board and feel confident you can talk about risk. So it's getting that right balance. But playing it back, I think it starts with get the right budget in place. And the way to do that is to really get your board understanding risk and the right appetite for that, and then threats and what you're defending against. So it's a really difficult area. AI is going to affect this area massively over the next 2 years. The single biggest worry, for a very long time before those companies you talked about, I worked for a cyber security company in the early days of the dot-com boom. And I remember talking to the hackers, basically the sort of white hat hackers they had at the time, the sort of very salubrious group of people in a dark room that I had to, as a general IT manager, provide them with equipment every now and then. And when you would talk to them and you'd say, how do you start one of these things? Inevitably, they would say, well, the first thing you do is human. It's always a human engineering. It's always phoning up saying, I forgot my password, or in some shape or form, making the best of a weakness in a person. Mm-hmm. You know, that's generally what it is. Rather than what we perceive is sort of war games and people at computers for hours on end with loads of code, it's almost always a very human thing. It's someone answering a piece of spamware. It's someone clicking on something they shouldn't have done, right?
Indeed.
So education is absolutely key in that, and really understanding and empathizing for the individuals involved about how do they need to be protected, because it's not easy, and AI is going to make that harder and harder for people.
Indeed. So you're up as a speaker shortly. What message or insights, without giving too much away, do you hope to impart to attendees at the event?
For me, at this point in my career, where I've done quite a lot, and I'm sort of starting to think about how to wind down, you know, eventually over the next few years, I look at the changing role of IT leadership and technology leadership, because it is changing, and the skills you're going to need, today's 20-something entering into this, are going to be very different skills to those that I needed when I entered into this industry. So I think just trying to make people aware that being a business-facing, commercially sensitive and understanding individual with lots of empathy and real understanding of how to affect change, that's really where technology skills are going to be going. Yes, we can talk about, you know, programming languages, we talk about cloud infrastructure, we talk about all those things, but actually they are becoming more and more divorced from the end use of the product. And what's going to make you a differentiated leader is your ability to be able to communicate effectively and explains change to people.
So what do you see as the future for your role at Group Chief Information Officer at Pure Gym and just for the tech industry in general?
I mean, my challenge is we're a low-cost business, and that's probably my skill set has been Premier Inn, EasyJet, low-cost businesses in a growth mode. So we need to become more global. We need to maintain a low-cost base. That means technology is super important for us because you can't have a low-cost base without really massively using technology. So how do we pick and choose the right things to do? How do we scale a business without scaling everything else at the same size? That's a challenge. It's a really good challenge to have. We're a growing business, and we will launch in another new country this year, another new country next year. Those are all challenges, culturally, technically, all of those things, whilst staying true to our brand, which is a very simple message of fitness for everyone. Everybody's welcome. How do we help people stay and maintain a fitness habit, which is a challenge. People, you know, it takes effort to stay in a fitness journey. So what tools can we put at people's disposal that keep them engaged and keep them active? You know, these are great challenges to have for someone in my role.
So where can our podcast radio business listeners who want to follow you and follow your journey in terms of what you're doing at Pure Gym, where can they reach out to you if that's their intention?
I'm on Twitter and LinkedIn, and I'm very active on those platforms. I'm also I tend to do a few of these events a year, so often around, and I do them for the networking. You know, it's all for meeting people and being involved. Really happy for people to reach out. Always the best way is contacting me through LinkedIn, probably the easiest way to get to me. But yeah, welcome the introductions.
Excellent. So, Andy Caddy, thank you for joining us on the Cashflow Show in association with Podcast Radio Business at the Tech Show 2024, live from Excel, deep in the heart of London's Docklands.
Many thanks.
You're most welcome.